Good morning. I know global warming is a terrible thing, but getting a Christmas tree and a pair of shorts is not too bad. So I need your help this morning. This is called parishioner participation. So I need you to say, rejoice when I raise my hand. Can we do that?
Rejoice.
It's not bad. 5 o'clock last night, maybe a little bit better, but you'll have an opportunity to improve as you go along. So we gather on this third Sunday of Advent, which is also known as Gaudete Sunday, as you heard in the introduction. The name is taken from the Latin word gaudete, which means the vestments with rose-colored threads woven into the Advent purple and the lighting of the third candle, which is rose in color, are all visual reminders for us to in anticipation of the coming of the Christ child. But is this the only reason we should be rejoicing? The fact that we are halfway through Advent, or that Christmas is only 2 weeks away and perhaps your gift shopping may be done, or that watching and the waiting that we're going through is near an end? No, I don't think so. And today's readings tell us why. See, the first reading comes from Zephaniah, who was a prophet around 630 BC. And he was addressing his people in the southern kingdom of Judah, as they were discouraged, and they were beating themselves up for being sinners. But this wise prophet recognized that all people sin. So while he warned the people of the consequence of sin, he did not stop there. So what does Zephaniah say? Seeing his people with heavy hearts, he told them that they should shout for joy and
rejoice.
What? A sinner? And I'm supposed to... He goes on to say, don't be discouraged. The Lord your God, who is in your midst, rejoices with gladness over you and rejoices over me, sinners. That God renews this joy in us time and time again. Okay, now that's something to about. Well, what about the second reading from Paul? He's writing from prison, not knowing if he's going to die. And he's writing to a community he has great love for, the Philippians. And because of the letters Paul has received, he knows that the people are worried about him and about what's going on in their lives. So Paul drafts them this letter, in which he uses the word and love some 15 times. He basically tells them that life will not always be rosy. Matter of fact, life can be hard. Real hard. And don't we all have times in our lives when we wonder what's going to come at us next? Or how can I take any more? Or why me? Or where is God? But what does Paul tell us to do? He says,
rejoice.
Rejoice always. Why? Because God is with you right now, in every instance. There's no reason for anxiety. Just a willingness to turn around in order to be open to God. And in turn, we are promised that God will offer us peace, which is beyond all understanding. Okay, now that's something to about. Then we heard in Luke's gospel, John the Baptist being asked basically the same question from his followers that were being asked of Zephaniah and of Paul. People are filled with expectations and are confused. What are we to do? Where is the Christ? Who is the Christ? And John reassures them that Christ is one mightier than he. And John spends his time encouraging the people and sharing with them the good news of Christ, giving them reason to turn their lives around for God and indeed to
rejoice.
In all three readings, we hear the angst of the people who are searching for reassurance in the presence and the protection of God. But don't we all have times in our lives, again, when we feel the same way, overwhelmed at home or at work or with the church or with all that's going on in the world? Actually, there are days when we may all have trouble finding God at all. And yet, we're called to light this rose candle and shout. Recently, I came across a parable which reminded me of the need to open my eyes in a different way, to learn how to rejoice. It comes from the book The Solace of Fierce Landscapes by theologian Belden Lane, and it goes like this. Long ago, a monk, seeking a sign of divine approval for his long years of monastic devotion, was told by a very wise person that his sanctity was nothing compared to that of a common grocer in a nearby town. On going to study this man very carefully, the monk found the grocer occupied with his vegetables amid the noise and hurry of the city streets, attentive to the needs of all those coming to him. Even as the night came on, the people growing rowdy, singing loudly in the streets, the grocer stayed at his task, helping latecomers with their needs. In exasperation, the monk finally blurted out, "How can you ever pray with all this noise going on?" The grocer looked around, feeling compassion for the people that made up his ordinary life, and answered very simply, "I tell myself they're all going to the kingdom, and they are concentrating with single-minded attention on what they do, singing songs and rejoicing with all they can muster. See how they prepare for the kingdom of God without even knowing it? How can I do less myself other than to praise in silence the God they inadvertently celebrate in song?" That night, the old monk walked slowly back to his room, knowing himself to have received, from a grocer no less, an important lesson in being attentive to the presence of God. Prayer and the recognition of the face of God takes place when people grant each other the gift of their attention. So now, do you see the other reason why we shout today? We don't have to wait till Christmas to be in the presence of God. We don't have to wonder where God is. We don't have to go out and search for God. God's presence always has been and always is with us. It's we who forget. It's we who look past the grocers in our lives. It is we who often do not give much attention, except when it best suits our own needs. Sure, we're all waiting for the coming of the Christ child. But Christ doesn't come to us as a papier-mâché Jesus lying in a manger. Nor does Christ come to us sitting high on a throne and doling out retribution and punishments for our sins. Rather, Christ comes to us disguised as the beggar on the street, disguised as that annoying person in the checkout line, disguised as the one in your family who drives everyone nuts during the holidays. Or best said, using my favorite line from Paula D'Arcy, God comes to you and I, disguised as our lives. Indeed, the readings of this Sunday remind us of God's ever-presence in our lives. They remind us to be attentive to this presence and to remind us to be open to God and to serve others. And if we do all that, we are promised that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And that is why on this third Sunday of Advent, we do indeed have good reason to cry out and say, Amen.
We now invite you to stand to receive Scripture, and we send you forth to reflect more deeply on the Scripture shared in our midst. As you share this story, may you grow to rejoice in the Lord's love for you and our concern. And we eagerly await the day when we are able to share fully with you at the Lord's table. Go now in peace, rejoicing in the Lord. Emmanuel, God with you.